So everybody right now, please welcome.
Welcome to the Sports Fantasies Podcast, where we break down rankings, projections.
Well, hello there. Welcome to the show, everyone. Do you love fantasy sports? And going off the beaten path? Well, then this is a show for you.
Oh, yeah.
Sports Fantasy with Miller and McCarty.
Welcome back. Episode 78. Sports Fantasies with Miller and McCarty. Yes, the show still does exist. Kind of.
Kind of.
How long? Know, you said episode 78?
Yeah. 78.
I feel like it was 77 a couple months ago.
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
It's been almost three full months since our last show.
We're locked in.
Life is very busy. What we're going to do is we're going to do a quick return show. I think we're probably going to be here for less than an hour, but with that being said, it'll probably be an hour and 7 minutes because that's what happens. We're going to do the pickle, some headlines, and odds are. NFL, we'll do some playoff predictions, starts and sits. And then we're going to go off the beaten path with some top 10 Christmas songs.
Ooh.
Have you been a good little boy?
Ooh, I like it.
Absolutely not. I did not show up on that list very often.
Okay. Well, coming out with a bang here. We're really fired up. I can feel the energy.
Let's get to it.
Please. Headline.
What was your first headline?
Look, where else do we start with the breaking news of the day? Of course, I was already going to talk about the free agency in Major League Baseball, but Ohtani obviously takes the cake for the news today. 10 years, $700 million to the Dodgers. I've got several thoughts on this, but I'll start with you. What are your thoughts on this for Ohtani and for baseball?
What's interesting is this didn't even make my list because I knew you'd bring it up. The first thing I got to say is he is going to make $2.22 a second for the next 10 years.
That's insane.
That it breaks down to about $132 a minute, $1.35 million a week. It's like $35,000 an hour if it were a 40-hour a week job.
It's amazing.
So that's really all I got to say about it. Good for him. The last report I saw, the Cubs were in the running until late. Actually, late last night, somebody broke that he was going to sign with the Cubs for 12 years, $565. Obviously, the Dodgers didn't want to lose him, and they got their guy. I mean, they probably way overpaid for him. I don't think he can continue to do both, maybe in the next 3 years, unless he goes into a relief role at some point. But, I mean, you wanted him. You got him.
Yeah, look, I'm as a Dodger fan, obviously, I'm super excited to get Ohtani. I completely agree that is an outrageous contract, and they certainly overpaid for it. My concerns with it are there's no opt-out clause, and really for either side. It's 10 years at that. I know he's deferring a lot of the salary so the Dodgers can still sign other players. I heard like today they still think they can go get Yamamoto as well for about $300 million and put $1 billion on their payroll this offseason. So they're still in that race. But, you know, obviously in 2024, he's not going to be pitching. So that hurts him a little bit, but he'll be back at it, I think, in 2025. And maybe it's not a terrible thing that he's not pitching for a year. Let him hit. He's obviously an elite hitter. You've mentioned before your thoughts on him just coming in as a closer, reliever here and there. Maybe help out with the potential injuries. And I don't hate that idea. I don't think it's going to happen. They're going to let him be an ace when he's pitching. But it's good for the Dodgers. Obviously, adds a lot more depth to the lineup. What about on the Angels side, though? On the flip side, I'm looking at them and I'm thinking, okay, they got nothing. They got zero for Ohtani.
They got zero for Ohtani, and they said they're not trading Trout.
Right. And, you know, some of the trade rumors that were going around for teams to Ohtani, you know, they probably should have looked a little deeper into those. And I get that they thought maybe they could re-sign him, but I think that was probably a long shot the whole time. But then, yeah, so now you have a team where you had Ohtani, you had Trout, you haven't really done anything with it. Now you've lost Ohtani and got nothing for it. I know they have Trout under contract until 2030. He signed like a 12-year deal a few years ago. But, you know, are you going to – he's in his 30s now. He's injured a lot. I feel like at some point you're going to have to cash in and get something. You don't want to lose Trout again for next to nothing, especially when the rest of the team is young. You know, they've been competitive, but I feel like they just traded Trout and Ohtani. A couple of years from now, maybe they're contenders because they'd be just loaded up with young talent.
Yeah, and I think right now, I think they've kind of shot themselves in the foot because lose Ohtani for nothing. Trout's value is very low right now. He hasn't played a complete season in, like, forever. And unfortunately for them, he misses August, September, and October every year. And so a contending team isn't going to give up the farm for a guy that hasn't proven he can stay healthy when it matters most.
Yeah, that's probably enough for Major League Baseball free agency since we're a long ways from the season. So what do you got?
My headlines are kind of short, sweet, to the point. The Army-Navy game is today. Of course, that is a huge tradition. They played all over the place this year. It was played at Gillette Stadium, I believe, in Boston. Army beats Navy 17-11 in a thrilling, high-scoring affair. I don't really have much to add to that. I just thought it was worth a mention since, you know, it is our service academies going out there and playing football. You know, before a lot of them will go off and protect us. So I thought it was worth at least noting that game.
Yeah, I'm not going to pretend like I tuned in, but I do know it's fun watching when you do just watching those teams play because it does, I mean, it means a ton to those players that are on the field as well as the people that have served in those different branches of the armed forces there, so.
I was talking to a guy that attends some of my water fit classes. His son is in the Navy, and he said it's crazy because, you know, Navy's home stadium only holds between 18 and 20,000 people. Same with Army, and that's why they move the game around every year to bigger places because, obviously, they need a bigger facility for this game. So, you know, it happens every year. It's a standalone game. It's the week after the championship games. It's the same day as the Heisman and the week before the bowl games start. So thought it was worth mentioning. Real quick here, St. Bonaventure basketball, 7-2, best team in New York right now.
Hey, should now. Be 8-1. Cuse is 7-3. Went over Georgetown today.
That is a half a game worse than Bonaventure. So like I said, Bonaventure, the best New York basketball team currently. The last thing I have on here, actually, I have two other things. Dawson Knox, back for KC. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, he's going to make a good backup to Kincaid.
Yeah. Honestly, I think what helps them is they get back to their two tight end sets, which they were running well out of. And, Allen was actually throwing well out of, I think Kincaid, I think Knox is going to be more of kind of a decoy and, it'll still be nice to have him back. Lastly, you've heard about this way too much this week, and I apologize, but I, you know, can't not mention this. Kyan, my son, got called up to the varsity team. He scored his first varsity points the other night, hit a three-pointer, followed by an air ball, at which point he got air ball chanted by the student section at the school he was playing at. But he handled it very well. You know, he got 21 minutes of 32, so... He was very pleased with that. I was very pleased with that. It was a pretty exciting week for us. And then he went out and scored a goal tonight with the varsity soccer team at indoor soccer. And they got a 3-1 win. So that's it for my headlines. I don't know if you have anything else.
Yeah, I've got a couple of quick ones too. Although I will say, yes, I have heard a lot about it all week, but as I should. I mean, look, that's awesome. You know, I mean, we both got kids. When kids do things, it's awesome. It's fun.
He also managed to block the 6'8" kid, and there was a picture of it. I sent that evidence out today. So
it was good. I was trying to dissect, like I was trying to find a foul potentially being committed, but I couldn't find one. I think it was a clean. It looked like a clean block.
Now, to be fair, the 6'8" kid brought the ball back behind his head. That's why it happened. But he also almost dunked on Kyan. Kyan smartly got out of the way.
Good for him. Two quick ones. You know, right now Lakers and Pacers playing the in season tournament in basketball. Does this title, like, okay, if the Lakers win this tonight, or like, should I be pumped up? Should I be celebrating in the streets?
I'm sorry, I just fell asleep for a second. Only thing I'm going to say about this, I recently saw a meme that said if the Lakers win, LeBron will count this as his fifth title. So he's only going to be one behind Jordan.
Okay. I don't hate that. I like that. And lastly, this could be in the football segment, but I'm going to talk about it here. A lot of talk right now about Sean McDermott and whether or not he survives this season. Now, my thoughts on it are, look, I love what McDermott has done, but I'm starting to come around to the other side now, and the people talking like, look, if they don't make the playoffs this year, I'm okay finding somebody else. I'm going to be honest.
So I'll tell you something. Recently out here in Western New York, they said that Sean McDermott was safe no matter what happens during the season. And then these 2019 comments.
The 9/11, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The 9/11 comments surfaced. And now I think if they miss the playoffs, he's gone. I don't think he has a shot at staying. And quite frankly, depending on what kind of pushback they get, if they make the playoffs and exit early, he still could be gone. I think that changed a lot. I think prior to those comments coming out, he was going to be safe, which I didn't agree with. I think if they missed the playoffs, he should 100% be gone, because you have a window and that window is closing.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, maybe McDermott did what he needed to do to get them where they're at. And they need somebody to kind of – you see it all the time, right? Mm-hmm. Some coaches are very good at getting you to a certain point, and then you need somebody else to come in and kind of get that over the top. But – yes, the 9/11 comments were, there's no way to really explain it. They were kind of disturbing, but, I always hate when we're talking about something that was 4 years ago, but at the end of the day, it was said, and right there, I guess there's no statute of limitation on something being appropriate or not. So I get that, but I'm kind of was thinking the same thing, right? Even if they make the playoffs, anything short of like an AFC championship game, I could see him being out the door.
Yeah. Honestly, I almost think they have to get to the Super Bowl to guarantee him not getting shown the door. I think even if they get to the AFC championship game and lose, especially if it's like KC for, you know, the 100th time, I could still see him being shown the door.
All right. That's all I got.
All right. Let's get in the odds are. We'll go back and forth ping pong style. What's the first one that you like, sir?
All right. Since we're going to be talking about playoffs, I went all NFL here and current Super Bowl.
I went all NFL as well, but I just went weekly games.
Okay. I went current Super Bowl odds. So first one I like, no surprise here. The Bills, they're a little ways down the list, obviously, since they're not a lock to make the playoffs right now. But if they get into the playoffs, we all know they can beat anybody. So at plus 3,000, I don't mind that. That means for every 5 pickles you put out there, you're getting 155 pickles back. So I'll take that. Am I just giving 1 or 3? I don't remember what you said.
Where'd you get that at?
That's on Caesars.
Okay. All right. I might have to get back on my Caesars.
He likes it. He's taking a break. Right. We're going to go to commercial break right now as he goes on to Caesars. All right. Am I going again or you? I don't remember.
No, we'll go back and forth. So like I said, I just did weekly games. We haven't been on in a while, so I decided to go weekly games. A couple of these might surprise you. A couple of them are pretty obvious, I thought. But my first one that I love, Detroit Lions, -3 versus Chicago Bears. I've lost against a few times, unfortunately. I think Detroit is much better than 3 points better than the Bears, even in Chicago.
Minus three is surprising. I need to get on Caesars too. I like that one. That's a good
one. This one's actually on DraftKings. I went DraftKings here. That's why I asked about the Caesars, because I think on DraftKings, I think the Bills are only +300 right now for a yes to make the playoffs. So I'm going to have to get on Caesars before we start gaming or while we're gaming or whatever.
Like I said, this isn't just to make the playoffs. This is to win it all.
To win it all? At +3,000. I still like that.
Yeah, this is for – you got to win the whole kit and caboodle here.
What's next, sir?
All right, next up, another one kind of a little bit lower down. I got the Jags at +2,200. So every five pickles, that's 115. I think, you know, as long as Lawrence is coming back healthy, I think they've got a good defense. I think the AFC is a little bit more open than the NFC, a little bit easier path. They're going to win that division easily. They've got a lot to like on offense, even though they just lost Kirk. So I think they're a wild card at +2,200.
All right. I can't argue that. I think that the Jags are not terrible. This one might surprise you. It might not. I don't know. Seattle +13.5 versus San Francisco 49ers.
Okay.
Could the Niners win that game by 14 easily? Yes. I'm not arguing that. This is a division game with two teams that have had very competitive games, no matter how good or bad one of them have been. 13.5 is a lot of points.
Yeah.
So I like the Seattle side quite a bit there.
I feel like Seattle is a sound enough team. It's going to be hard to blow them out. And then and the Niners have shown – I mean, they've been pretty dominant most of the time, but they've shown weeks where they lose to teams they shouldn't, just not cover, but lose straight up. So.
Well, what's interesting is when they've had their left tackle Williams and Debo in the lineup together, they haven't won a game by less than 10. When those two were out, or one of those two were out, that's when they went on their three-game losing streak.
Look at these facts we're putting out over here.
I come to the show prepared, sir, sometimes. What's your last one that you like?
My last one, this is just a real long shot, but it's +8,000. They're going to make the playoffs, I believe. Of course, we'll talk about the playoff predictions, but when I get there, I'll tell you that this team has the easiest schedule remaining. It's the Green Bay Packers. Again, do I think this is going to happen? No. But for every five pickles you put out, you get 405 back. So they've got a decent defense. You've got Jordan Love playing pretty good football right now. Got a couple weapons on offense. So again, long shot for sure, but that's why you're getting a +8,000. Put $10 down, maybe it gets you back 800 pickles.
Yeah, I don't hate that, to be honest. My last one, not a surprise at all. The Buffalo Bills at +1.5 versus Kansas City. Essentially what this line means is that the pros, as we like to call them in Vegas, like the Bills by -1.5, because you get three just for being the home team.
Yeah.
So with that being said, I like the Bills a lot here at +1.5. Now, I also realize they could go in there and absolutely, you know, they get beat in this game and the season's probably over. That's not how I see it going. I see this being the start of a five-game winning streak.
He's optimistic. So
go Bills.
But if you're going to do that, I will say, forget the point and a half. Just take the money line, because you're going to get a little more action.
100%. I'm just saying that, you know.
Yeah, I know.
If you want that point and a half, just in case there's, you know.
You never know.
A missed extra point by Tyler Bass, you know. What about the ones you don't like, sir? You can give me all three of yours, and I'll give you all three of mine.
All right. Ones I don't like, again, they're probably going to win the Super Bowl. I just don't like the payout. It's the 49ers. It's only +300. That's not very exciting for me. Number two.
It's not exciting.
Number two, the Ravens, I believe, are about third overall odds, somewhere in there at +650. Until the Ravens show they're going to get it done in the postseason, I don't know. Teams seem to be able to scheme against Lamar in the postseason. So I don't love that. I could have gone with the Dolphins there as well. They're right behind them at plus 700. And if the Dolphins get in a cold weather game, or we saw what they did all last December, which was lose every single game, I could see them falling back. And my last one, now look, you're going to get great pickles here, but I'm not going to advise it. The Pats, the Patriots to win the Super Bowl. They may have been mathematically eliminated, so I wouldn't advise this. But plus 200,000 right now. Five pickles wins you 10,000 pickles. But again, don't fall for it, folks. They're already out of the playoffs.
There was a graphic the other night, yeah, that they had a 0% chance of making the playoffs. So
yes.
Anyways. All right, so for me, the ones I don't love, Dallas -3 versus Philly. Dallas has to prove to me they can beat a winning team besides Seattle at home on a Thursday. Miami -13 versus Tennessee. Don't love that, just because, again, that's a big number. These are NFL teams. No, Miami's probably going to win by 28. I just don't like it. I wouldn't put pickles on it. Last but not least, the LA Chargers -2.5 versus Denver. I don't love that. Denver's been playing well. The Chargers tend not to show up in these games. So don't love the Chargers at -2.5.
Fair enough.
And that wraps up the pickle. We'll be back right after these six messages. Bum stickity bum stickity bum, hun. I got that open up a pump pump, but I can feed fire bow diddly bum. There I come, Sabrina Piper. I'm hyper than Pinocchio's nose, cause I'm a supercalifragilistic tic tac pro. I gave a oopsie daisy. Now you got the crazy. Crazy with the bum stickity goo with the gravy. So segment one, the NFL Sports Fantasy with Miller McCarty, episode 78. It's been a while. We've been here, there, everywhere. Speaking of that, 7 days from now, we'll be in the same place at the same...
Oh, yeah.
I'm assuming at this time we'll be feeling really good.
We'll be feeling great.
Next Saturday.
We'll be feeling great. Going through tables.
This is when we should probably do the podcast next week with Drew. 10:30 on Saturday night.
Hey, you got a problem with me?
Wait, that's not what I meant to play. But yeah, that sounds good. We can do that. I'll bring all my stuff. We'll be ready to roll.
Now, I know this is a football segment, but I was proposed an interesting trade. Not of players. Well, kind of players, I guess. Nelson. Bonus. Who we all love. Challenged me to take his team and give him mine in hung jury.
Okay.
Because I told him if he knew what he was doing, he could make the playoffs next year.
We could with that division.
Well, I mean, he has a decent few players that he could, like someone like Dominguez. You could trade him 3-for-1 and get three guys that help you win. You know what I mean?
For sure.
After some thought, though, like I told him, I said, you know, if we were in year 8 and I didn't spend all this time, A, building the league up and building my team up, and now there's 8 super power teams in this league, it's just really hard for me to make that move at this point unless he's paying my buy-in for the next 2 years.
Yeah, I wouldn't advise it, but that's just me.
Just something a little off the beaten path, but that was Christmas themed, so I didn't want to put that there. All right, playoff predictions. How did you do this? I actually seeded them 1-7 in the AFC and the NFC. I don't know what you did, but if you did.
Not quite that detailed, but.
I mean, I didn't put records, so I kind of basically just went off my senses. And there's only one reason I seeded them, and that's because of the order in the AFC. Which we will get to in a minute.
Well, fair.
Who are your division winners? Let's start there. I'm assuming you have division winners in the 3 wildcard teams.
Yeah, kind of. I didn't even get that deep. But I've got my locks, basically. Okay. So division winners, Miami, right? Are we starting with the AFC? Miami. Miami, Baltimore, Kansas City, and Jacksonville.
Okay. 3-for-4. Not bad. I have Baltimore, Kansas City, Jacksonville, and Buffalo.
Okay. Okay.
Do you think I'm crazy? Did you see Miami's last 3 weeks?
I do.
If the Bills win out and the Dolphins lose those last three games, which is completely possible, they play the Cowboys, Ravens, and Bills the last 3 weeks of the season. Mm-hmm. The Bills win the division.
I just don't see the Bills winning out, so I think they've Miami's already mathematically won it, but that's all. That's okay. Yeah, I mean, I like your
that's fair. That's if Miami doesn't slip up against, you know, Tennessee on Monday, or I think they have the Patriots next week, though, so that doesn't count for anything, but... Anyways,
I've been watching Hard Knocks. They're focused. They're ready to go. They're good. They're going to win that game.
They haven't beat a winning team all year, but that's okay.
Well, I'm not saying they're – look, I told you, I don't think they're going to win at all. I'm just saying
– Who are your wild card teams?
Okay, this was tougher. This was tougher.
I knew you would disagree about the Bills and Dolphins, by the way. And that's fine. You're a Dolphins fan. I get Tennessee, Miami, whoever. You're always cheering against the Bills. I know.
Let me tell you this. I don't have the Bills in the postseason. I'm hoping I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But the only reason I didn't is because I've got Houston, because their remaining schedule is just terrible. And they're 7-5, I think. I've got Cleveland because they have one of the easiest schedules remaining. They're also 7-5, even without Deshaun Watson. I think they find a way to win. And then, I don't know what's happening right now. And I've got Denver. Those are my teams.
Okay. So we're not too far off.
I hope I'm wrong.
I heard two of the three you said. You said Houston and Denver.
Yeah.
I don't know who the third team was you said.
Cleveland.
Okay. Here's what I got. So I got the Ravens as the one seed, Kansas City as two, Jacksonville 3, Buffalo 4, because those are my division winners. I got Miami at 5, which would be amazing. It would be Buffalo versus Miami in the wild card in Buffalo.
That would be great.
I have Houston at 6, so you get Houston, Jacksonville in the wild card there. Then I have Denver at 7, so you get KC and Denver in the wild card there.
All right.
So you would get 3 division matches wild card weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
That's it. That's all I got. What do you got for the NFC?
Okay. NFC, I've got Philly winning the division. I've got Detroit. Do I have Detroit? Yeah. I've got the Niners and the Falcons.
Okay. Only agree on 2 of the 4 here. I have the Niners as the 1 seed, the Dallas Cowboys as the 2 seed.
Okay.
The Detroit Lions as the 3 seed, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Baker Mayfield led Tampa Bay Buccaneers, pulling ahead of the Falcons and winning the South.
It's a terrible division again. I mean, the Bucs could win it. I put the Falcons because I think the Falcons had the second easiest schedule remaining. Well, although the Bucs isn't super hard either, so.
No. Honestly, this came down to me. They're only a game apart right now, and I looked at it really came down to Ridder versus Mayfield. And I like Mayfield a little more than Ridder. That's why I took the Bucs. What do you have for your 3 wild card teams, sir?
Well, of course, Dallas is going to be in. And then I already talked earlier about I think the Packers are going to get in. So then, to me, it comes down between the Vikings, Rams, and Seahawks. And I have no idea. They all have semi-hard schedules left. No easy schedules there, but Justin Jefferson's coming back. Give me the Vikings, sure.
All right, so I went Eagles at 5, Green Bay at 6, and I went Seattle at 7 because I agree that it comes down to those 3 teams kind of there at the bottom. If you believe, you know, that the Cowboys or Eagles and then the Packers are getting in, so I went Seattle. Mostly because I already talked them up a little bit earlier in the show. So,
fair enough.
All right, let's go into start sit for week 14. Why don't you give me your 3 starts for quarterbacks, sir?
Well, I only went 2 at each, so that's all I'm going to
give you. That's fine. You can give me 2. I said 2 or 3. That's fine. I'm an overachiever. I went 3. You went 2. That makes sense. The show is back to normal, folks.
Hey, you got a problem with me?
Okay, that's
the only problem I have with you is that you've lost your passion for this podcast.
Well, why don't you cry about it?
Okay. All right, my first one. Oh, look, teams are going to – or people are going to say – Jets have a great D. You can't play a quarterback against them. It's C.J. Stroud. It doesn't matter who he's playing. The guy's a beast right now. You got to play him, even at the Jets. And my second one, Jordan Love at the Giants. Again, I think most of the year he's probably been in that quarterback 10 to 15 range. I think over the past 3 weeks, he's been a top five quarterback. So I don't see why that won't continue against the Giants. So I'm taking Love over a lot of quarterbacks that I normally wouldn't probably this week.
All right. So my three quarterbacks, Mr. Dobbs for the Vikings with Jefferson coming back, him developing a relationship with Hockenson and Addison. I think he is a good start this week. Mr. Russell Wilson.
Ooh, Russ. Russ is cooking.
It's so interesting. When I was doing this, I was like, I can't put Russ Wilson down. He's a must start. No, he's not. Not anymore. So, Russ Wilson.
And yeah, he is not a must start.
I know. We actually agree on this guy is Jordan Love. What about your...
McCarty, you're so smart.
Thank you.
Yeah, what
thank
about you. Your two cents?
My two sits are... okay. Lawrence, he's got a little bit of an injury tag this week. I think he's probably going to suit up, but even if he does, Cleveland has been pretty good defensively against quarterbacks, so I'm not willing to risk it on Trevor Lawrence this week. All right. And the next one, I don't know if this is really any type of revelation, but you're not playing Geno Smith against the San Francisco 49ers.
It's so weird you said that. My number two sit this week was Geno Smith against 49ers. Jared Goff, I don't think, is a must-start this week either. I like Detroit against Chicago, as I mentioned earlier. Weather could be a factor there, though. And the third one I said probably should sit this week is Derek Carr coming back off an injury. Not guaranteed to survive the whole game, so I don't know that I would be turning to Derek Carr for a start the week before the playoffs. All right, fair running enough. Backs. I'll give you my three starts, then you can give me yours. Number one, James Cook versus the Kansas City Chiefs.
Ooh, number James. Two,
Keaton Mitchell for the Baltimore Ravens.
Okay.
Number three, Zach Moss from those pesky Indianapolis Colts.
Oh, Zach. Old Zachy.
That's all I got.
All right. Fair enough. I've got...
Right. Mitchell almost won the game, the Madden game against you the other night for me. Then I missed a field goal, a 37-yard field goal with Justin Tucker. It was amazing.
He almost did. All right. So the worst team against the rush this year is the Tennessee Titans. So if you've got Mostert, if you've got A-Chain, play them both. They're both going to go nuts in Tennessee. And the other one, a guy that has been averaging not very many yards per carry, but he's getting about 5 to 6 receptions a game. So if you're in a PPR league, give me Breece Hall against the Texans. The Texans, I think, are the second worst against the rush.
All right. My three sits for the running backs, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. This guy, every time we think he's getting a chance, he's going to be good.
Has he ever been a start in the last 3 years?
If Pacheco was starting this game for the Chiefs, he'd be a start, right? Because the Bills are still a little suspect against the run, especially without Milano in the middle there.
Is Pacheco out?
Yeah. Pacheco is out.
Okay,
I got
you. So, I did not know that. Okay.
So CEH becomes the starter there. I would say that he is a sit. Delvin Cook, you mentioned Breece Hall. Cook isn't getting much run. He hasn't been able to get anything going. But he was on a lot of these lists. So I'll be honest. At this point, I was doing this research about 15 minutes before the show was supposed to start, even though I ended up being 25 minutes late. And last but not least, Derrick Henry. For no other reason than he scored 4 touchdowns the last 2 weeks. He left last week's game, so he could still be injured. And typically, after scoring 4 touchdowns in 2 weeks, you see a decline in that. So I'm sitting Derrick Henry.
Yeah, and there's a chance too that Miami goes up a couple touchdowns and they can't just sit around and run the ball if they want to stay in it. So
yeah. What about your two receivers you're starting? Two, three, whatever you did.
All right. I think both of us like this guy. I think he's become in year one not the go-to for Mahomes, because of course that's Kelce. But Rashee Rice is starting to show that he is the wide receiver of choice for Mahomes, and I think he's going to end up being pretty good there. But right now he's pretty consistent, right? He's giving you 6-7 catches, maybe a run or two here and there. He's pretty explosive, so he gets yards after the catch, and he's not your wide receiver one, but you can feel confident on like a wide receiver three level.
Oddly enough, then, we agree on Rashee Rice. He is number one on my list as well.
Fair. This next one isn't a guy, again, that you're loving as a wide receiver one or two, but maybe a three or a flex play, and it's Jalen Reed from Green Bay. Last few weeks, he's had 6 targets. Doesn't put up huge numbers, but he's had 4 or 5 catches, again, a run or two, and he does a lot with those catches when it comes to yards after the catch. So I think he's a pretty safe play to get you 10, 12 points.
All right. My number two is another guy who's probably not a wide receiver one or two, but in that 3-year flex, that's Brandon Cooks from the Cowboys.
He's been good.
And my number three, went a little homer here, a guy who's had a few really good games against Kansas City, including a 200-yard receiving game in the playoffs, the one and only, number 13 on his jersey, number one in our hearts, Gabe Davis.
Well, let me give you my first sit. He's had a 240-yard game against the Chiefs. He's number one in our hearts. He's number 13. It's Gabe Davis. Look, if you want to throw Gabe Davis up there, he is just so inconsistent, right? He went from, he had a 9 catch week, then a 0, then a 2, then a 0, and then last week had 6 for 100 and plus yards. He does have the ability at any given game to just go off. The boom or bust guys aren't the guys I like. I like the guys that I know are at least going to get me 10 points, potentially 20, not the guys that might get you 25 or 0. So for me.
He definitely comes with a little bit of a risk, but I think him and Allen, with the new offensive coordinator, Mr. Joe Brady, have started to develop a little something here, and he always plays well versus Kansas City. And Diggs hasn't necessarily played great against Kansas City. He gets a lot of catches for not a lot of yards, it seems, the last few times they've played. So,
and my second one, I love this wide receiver, especially in Dynasty still, but it's T. Higgins. If Joe Burrow was in there, T. Higgins is a must-start for me. Without Joe Burrow, I mean, he's probably 2 or 3 catches. So, he has the talent to do more, but he's probably a sit for me most of the season until next year.
Yeah, unfortunately, I have him in a couple leagues, and he did help me win a game last week, though, that clinched a playoff spot for me. So, my first sit, a little bit of a surprise here, is Cooper Kupp versus the Ravens. Ravens' defense is really good. You don't know what you're going to get from the Rams, so Cooper Kupp is a sit this week for me.
Let me ask you this. Dynasty draft, let's say all things are equal. You got Cooper Kupp on the board and the rookie, Nakua. I don't know how you say his name. Who are you taking there? Who's the more valuable wide receiver right now from a dynasty?
Dynasty league, I'm probably taking the young kid. If they're both in L.A. and, you know, everything is the way it is right now, I'm probably taking the young kid over Kupp. Not by a lot. You know, I don't think either of them are going to be $30 or $40 players. I think they're probably both going to be between that $20 and $30 range. I could see the young kid going a little more than that, but
he's been really good. Cooper has had a terrible season. I mean, just from what you're used to out of him, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's still been okay again. He's going to have a safe floor. But he is far from where he was last couple of years.
The next guy is pretty much a sit every week, along with any receiver from this team. So if you're thinking about starting one of them, you probably shouldn't. It's Darius Slayton from the Giants. Okay. He made every list I think I saw.
Oh, yeah. I don't start any Giants players.
And my number three receiver to sit is any Chiefs receiver that's not Rashee Rice.
Yeah, I agree with that.
they're not very good. And I think that's why we've seen Mahomes come back down to earth a little bit, because Kelce hasn't been Kelce since he's been dating Miss Taylor Swift, and he has got no consistency from his receivers. I mean, even Rice hasn't been overly consistent for the whole season. He's been a little more consistent recently, but a lot of inconsistency in that position.
Well, and Sky Moore, for example, he's not even rosterable.
He's not
in a dynasty league. It's a second round pick a year ago. That's how bad he's been.
I was huge on him coming out of college, especially when he went to Kansas City, and he's done nothing. All right, tight ends. My three starts. Number one, Dallas Goedert coming back from the injury against the Cowboys. Cowboys give up a ton of points to tight ends. Not a ton of points to receivers typically. So I expect Dallas Goedert to have a big day. Number two, you're going to notice that this is the third guy from this particular team that has made the start list. It's Dalton Kincaid from the Bills. I think he's going to have a nice day. And number three, Jake Ferguson, the tight end from the Cowboys. I believe he'll also have a good day. I think Goedert and Ferguson both have good days. I think they'll both be the second highest receiving scorer on their team, respectively.
All right. I also have Dalton Kincaid. I think Knox coming back means only positive things for Kincaid. So he'll continue to do what he's done and be that number two option for Allen. And then the second one I have is Isaiah Likely out of Baltimore.
Baltimore,
you know, he's not going to get you Mark Andrews numbers, but at the end of the day, with Mark Andrews out, Lamar does like to throw to the tight end. And I think Likely his first game had 8 targets, 4 catches for 40 yards. So in a league where tight ends getting you any type of production, there's about 5 of them that do it consistently. So if you have a tight end that can go out there and get you 8 to 10 points, at this point you take it if you don't have a better option.
I would agree with that. My three sits here. Evan Engram for the Jags, who had a really good game. Not sure who's going to be a QB for Jacksonville. It sounds like Lawrence is going to at least try to start the game, but that means he's going to finish the game. Although he did play well with the backup as well. He actually cost me a game last week. Number two, Dawson Knox coming off the injury. Again, I think he's going to be used more of a blocker, a decoy, more than a guy that's going to go out there and get even 4 or 5 catches. And number three, we got Brevin Jordan from Houston. He's put up a couple of good weeks, but you got Schultz is back now and healthy. I think Stroud will look more to Schultz than he will Jordan. So unless Jordan scores a touchdown, I don't think he is really startable. And touchdowns aren't guaranteed in this league, as we all know, especially going against the Jets team. A good Jets defense.
If Schultz is back, then, I mean, Jordan will barely see the field.
He scored 9 last week with Schultz being back, though, but I think he scored a touchdown.
Schultz was out last week.
I knew he was out 2 weeks ago. I didn't know about last week.
So. He was out last week, too. All right, my two sits. I'm speaking strictly to Andy Reid on the first one. If I'm you, I sit Travis Kelce. You know, why play Travis Kelce in a game that you don't really need against the Bills? So I'd sit him. Then the second one, if you're playing me in fantasy and you have Sam Laporta on your team, I would recommend sitting him too, because he's not very good.
Am I playing you in any leagues that I have Sam Laporta?
I don't know.
Because I have 2 or 3 leagues, I think. So that's funny. I like that. That wraps up our football segment. We'll be right back to wrap up the show. Off the Beaten Path with Top 10 Christmas Songs.
Trusky, this is me. All right, episode 78. We're back for our final segment.
Sports Fantasy with Nolan Riccardi.
little top 10 holiday style. And we're going to do a top 10 of one of my least favorite things in life, and that is Christmas songs. It's not my thing. I'm not a big
There's
fan.
There's one day for 3 hours that I will allow Christmas music to be played in my presence. That is on Christmas Day from about 8 a.m. until 11 a.m., and then I am done with the Christmas songs.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. All right, so are we thinking we're each going to give like a top 10, or are we going to do like a snake-style draft? What do we want to do here?
I think we each give our top 10 because that's what I prepared for. Yeah. I don't feel like thinking right now.
That's that sounds good. All right, then. Let's go here. 10 through 7, Mr. Miller. What do you got?
10 through 7. Number 10. I sang it as we left the last segment. It's Frosty the Snowman. I will not sing it again. I'll spare everyone that.
Okay. Number 9. Frosty. It's a classic. All right.
It's the most wonderful time of year.
I don't even remember that one, but all right. That's good.
It's the most wonderful time of year.
Oh, that sounds good.
All right. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas comes in at number 8.
Ah, yes. Yes, I know that
one. Number 7, one that, you know, mainstream America probably doesn't know a whole lot about, but one of my favorite Christmas songs, probably should have been higher on my list, the Chanukah song, the original by Mr. Adam Sandler.
Ooh, that's a good one. I forgot about that one. That's a good one. I like that one. Okay. All right. Well, like I said, I don't love Christmas songs, so mine are not all. You'll see. All right. My first one, number 10. Jingle Bells, but not the actual Jingle Bells. Give me some Jingle Bells, Batman Smells, that version. That's the one I want here coming in at number 10. Classic kid joint right there. Even my kids sing that one. It's made it through the generations. Number 9.
I would like you to sing some of that, actually.
I can't. Number 9. All I Really Want for Christmas, but this is the version from Little John and the Kool-Aid Man. Now, there is a full-on music video for this. And yes, when I say the Kool-Aid Man, we're talking about the guy that crashes through walls. He's a part of this song. It's a good one. You should look it up
Not
and watch
it. Not to be confused with McCarty, who's going to be crashing through a table next week about this time.
I hope so. All right, next up, number 8 is Sleigh Ride by TLC. You know, not a bad song. It's just not a bad song. And number 7, okay, this is an actual classic Christmas song. Rocking Around the Christmas Tree. Yes, that's my number 7.
A little low, I think. But
Okay, all right. What are we going? 6 through 4?
Yep, 6 through 4 here. Number 6 for me, this is a classic. It might be actually 2 on my list. None other than Silent Night.
Yeah, that is too low on your list. I agree with that.
Number 5. Have Yourself a Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
I went with the Frank Sinatra version here.
Okay, can't go wrong there.
Number 4, you just mentioned this, Rocking Around the Christmas Tree.
All right, fair enough.
Makes you think of Home Alone, basically. All right, what do you got for your 6 through 4, sir?
My number 6... Oh, yeah. I'm feeling the groove. It's Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, I think.
First of all, that's way too low.
But, well, wait a second. Let me tell you this. That version didn't make my list. I'm talking about the DMX version of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. That's the one I want to hear at Christmas time. You've never heard anything like it if you haven't heard it.
I've heard it.
A lot of grunts and barks.
Yeah.
I love it. My number 5, Jingle Bell, Jingle Bell, Jingle Bell Rock. Okay, but again, I'm not talking about one you might hear on the radio. This is the GVCS Jazz Band version with yours truly on drums. That's the version you need to hear for Jingle Bell Rock.
I actually remember that version of the song. I did hear it live. You did a phenomenal job. The rest of it was subpar.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. And number 4, I'm going a little pop here, showing off. You know how hip I am. It's Santa Tell Me, Ariana Grande. It's a good one right there.
All right. Here we go. We're going ping pong style, right? 3-3-2-2-1-1.
Yes.
One. All right.
Yes.
Number 3, Jingle Bell Rock. Great song. Needs to be in the top 3. On to you, sir. What's your number three?
My number three, it's Run DMC. It's Crispus and Hollis. Just a classic.
Okay. All I'm going to do for this one is simply... Yeah, I mean, it's going to play an ad. This is really anticlimactic. This is wonderful. I wish I was a little more prepared. You're drawn there like a magnet.
The suspense is killing me. Yes, well, of course. This is too low as well, but...
Oh, this is your number one.
It has to be.
It's everyone's number one. That's why it's not mine. Of course, it's All I Want for Christmas by Mariah Carey. What's your number two? I'll just let this keep playing.
Well, to be honest, I did have this as my number two, but then I just asked my kids what their favorite Christmas song was, and they said All I Want for Christmas by Mariah. So I bumped that to number one. That's my number one. So my number two, you said it earlier, it's an actual song about something that matters with Jesus. It's Silent Night.
When you go to church
or whatever you're doing, when you're singing Silent Night and they bring out the little candles that you light them up and the wax is dripping onto your hands as your hand is burning while you're singing the Silent Night song, holding hands with everybody. It's a good time. I like
the most powerful Silent Night song I was ever a part of. It was yearly in Angelica's around the park circle. They would do Silent Night. We would do the nativity scene there at the Methodist church with youth group and Lorraine Ryan and co. And then we would do Silent Night around the park circle. And of course, a lot of the community was there, especially the folks that went to church on a regular basis. So yeah, I can appreciate that. It might've been a little low on my list, but it was on my list. Number one for me was Rudolph Red-Nosed Reindeer, only because nostalgia takes me back when I was a kid, you know, the little creepy dentist guy. And I'm just going to let Mariah just keep playing. I knew you'd have it.
We've got dueling Mariahs. All right, are we ready to put this up?
All right, folks. That was our return to Sports Fantasy with Mel and Riccardi. It could be the last show we ever do. It could be the first of...
Fingers crossed.
Of the next run. To be honest, if I could produce a show, I would do it weekly by myself. if McCarty wasn't a willing participant. So, but yeah, I hold that out.
I hold most of leverage right now.
He really does. That's why we go 90 days in between shows. But I'll be honest at this point, now that we've been here for an hour and 5 minutes, I'm ready to go play some video games. If that's still a thing. Actually, I don't care if he's playing or not. I'm going to play. So until next time, go Bills.
Peace.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Sports Fantasies with Miller and McCarty. And be sure to catch future shows wherever you stream.
Oh, bye-bye now.